Who shall deliver? We're kind of words of despair uttered by, of all people, the Apostle Paul. Who shall deliver? Romans 7, 24 and 25. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, or this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What's he thanking him for? So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. That problem of the believer. The soul, the spirit justified. We are saved, and as much saved as we can ever be saved. In our spirit, we have been received by God. We have been accepted as his son. He has moved us into Jesus Christ. He loves us as he loves his son. You know, what a sense of assurance it is, you know, to ask yourself the question, when will God stop loving his son? Not going to happen, is it? And you are in him. But, and the time is coming when he will save our body. The very body itself will be changed into an eternal being, that an everlasting being that will live with God in perfect harmony forever. But between those two is the ongoing salvation of our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. These are those changeable things taught by our flesh, ingrained in the things of the world. And we have to transform them. We have to change them. We have to grow into the knowledge and grace of God. Let me take you to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 3:22. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. That's the response we need, isn't it? He says, return, convert, change back, turn back. We come. Behold, we come. Jeremiah 8:22. Is there no balm, that soothing balm, healing balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of thy daughter, my people, recovered? He says, can I not save? Can I not heal? Yet I look, and you're not healed. Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, O Lord, I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. And back to the Apostle Paul, Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Two laws working here. The one that's working in our flesh that keeps prompting us to go back to the path of corruption. We were we went over to MCL for supper, and I can't remember whether it was when we got out of the car or when we got back in the car. But there was a man there, we parked by the little booth that people wait for the bus. And it was a big man with this giant t-shirt, and he says, I know right from wrong. Wrong is the fun one. And that's what the flesh is always trying to tell us, you see. Don't restrict yourself. Do whatever you want. A believer complained that while he read the Bible, he did not have a real desire for it. While he prays, his heart is not really in it. To answer his need, we must distinguish between the disease and the symptoms of the disease. What is the disease behind prayerlessness? this might surprise you, but this believer was living under the law and not under grace. This is what Nancy was describing as she was growing up. It all depends on me. Therefore, I need to be such a person that just is excited about reading the Bible. Can't wait to open that thing up. I hear preachers talking about that, that's the way we ought to be. You know, what a pressure on people. I like reading the Bible in the morning. I hardly have the energy to get that excited about anything at that point. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For you are not under the law, but under grace. This is that key to not having sin, not having dominion over you. You go back to the law, you go back to your flesh trying to keep the law. You judging one another, yeah. I'm better than you. Builds pride, condemns others. It's the Pharisaic way. Since every Christian is saved by grace alone, there are only two types of Christian life. One is lived partly under law, partly under grace. The other is lived entirely under grace. My goal tonight is to acquaint you with the idea of what it means to live under grace. You may believe in grace, maybe even talk about it, preach it, yet not live under grace alone. Yet the two ways of life are absolutely different. How are they different? Law demands, grace gives, bestows. Love commands, but gives no strength to obey. Grace promises and performs, doing everything for us or through us, doing energizing God in us. Law burdens, grace comforts. Law casts down, grace makes strong. Law condemns, grace makes victorious. Law appeals to self to do its utmost. I kind of got soured on revivalists because that was the theme that they took. You're not trying hard enough. If you're not sinless, come to the front and we'll try it again, see? Grace points to Christ to do all. He may do it through you, and it may be exciting, but it's Christ doing it. Law requires us to strain toward a goal we can never reach. Grace requires us to believe, and it works God's blessed will in us. See the contrast? The pure grace life lives in full freedom from self-effort and experiences the fullness of God's strength. Dawns on me that the Apostle Paul talking about, you know, people saying, I don't feel like I've done enough, I don't feel like, and he said, I don't even judge myself. Remember hearing him say that? So that, I don't know enough to judge myself in this thing. So I do what I can, try to build as much as I can, and they'll let God evaluate it. Continued failure in the Christian life is the symptom of living partly under law. Paul tells us that we have not received the spirit of bondage, again, under the whip. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. Again means you had it before, when you were just living under law, but you have received the spirit of adoption, bringing you into the family, see, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba and Father, two words for Father. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty from the law, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's law living. We're free from the law. We are no more servants or slaves, but sons. This is what Paul says to the Galatians 4:7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, a slave, but a son. Reevaluate the way you think about this. He loves you and adopts you. And if a son, what does a son get? An heir of God through Christ. Through Christ, you become the one who inherits from God, as a son does his father. So let me make a broad statement. All failure in Christian living stems from believers seeking to do themselves what grace alone can do in them. I mean, just think about it logically for a moment. Is the failure on your part God's inability? It's just you not seeking his strength. All right. We must do three things. Step one, completely accept your failure and inability as God has been trying to show you. Do not try to strive against it. There is a part of us, that pride, that says, I can do it. You know, I can be that little train that could. I think I can. There are some things, it doesn't matter how positive your thinking is, it's not going to happen, you know. I'm going to walk through this concrete wall. Keep thinking positive, because you're going to be pretty bruised. Here's the thing, accept that you cannot. Live with that. This is not about you. This is about him. We often resolve, determine to pray more, to pray better. What happens? We fail. We do not have the strength of will required to change our habits. It's so difficult to find time for more prayer. We do not have the necessary power for supplication and pleading. Instead, prayer being a joy and strength becomes a source of continual self-condemnation and doubt. Oh, I failed again. I'm not doing it right. Yet we really do not expect to change. Let us find that hidden cause of our failure and despair, and then recognize how sure divine deliverance is. So recognize that you cannot, and just accept that as a condition of life. Spiritually, you can't. Step two, once you've recognized what you can't do, sink down before God in that sense of utter helplessness. Be that before God. Don't say, if you just help me a little, I can get this thing done. This is the wrong attitude. Sink down before God in utter helplessness. Admit that unless grace gives you deliverance and strength, you will never do better than you have done. This won't reveal anything to God. He already knows this. This will reveal it to you. As you say this before God, as all confession of sin, this is God, this is me telling me that I recognize this truth. What is this? This is yielding. This is submission. This is not my will, but thine be done through me. This is I can't, but you can. This is the attitude of dependence on God. Revelation 3, 17 and 18. The Laodiceans said, I can do it. Christ says to them, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What a mess you are. Standing before me saying, I've got this. I'm fine, thanks. Don't need your help. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. You get this from him, not from you. Not the fruit of your works. It refers to good works, but it has to come, it has to produce like fruit out of the tree. Not because the tree tries harder, because he cooperates with how God is working with him. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Jeremiah said, is there no balm in Gilead for healing? One of my teachers said, he was visiting Israel. And they heard this big boom. He said, what was that? He said, maybe that's the balm in Gilead. Do you catch what number two is? This is saying, if my Christian life is to be victorious, then I'm going to admit, step one, that it can't be me. And I am now emptying myself of all pride that I can do this. And I am opening myself to be used of God. Step three, come out from under the law, from under self, from under human effort. Take your place under God's grace and allow God to do all. But he's not doing all that I want. That's sort of you again, isn't it? How about him doing what he wants in his timing? Here's our problem. We believe in saving grace, that we can't save ourselves without him. But, and we do that because we understand our complete inability to save ourselves, what we miss is sanctifying grace, the grace that transforms us, that turns us into the image of Christ, that molds us into that. It takes a magic power to transform you into somebody else's image. Listen to Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, what's that? Saving grace. So walk ye in him. That's sanctifying grace. In the same pattern that you got saved, walk in him. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense, Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. What's the key operative term here for your success? It's Jesus Christ reigning. Romans 5, 20-21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, that sin would seem very sinful. See? Wow, that sin was horrible. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned, ruled, dominated unto death, even so might grace reign, dominate, rule, through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law? Well, if I'm not under the law, I'll just do whatever I want. Wrong is more fun. We're not under law, but under grace. God forbid. It's not actually living under grace, is it? 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said unto me, praying, please get rid of this thorn in the flesh. My grace, Paul, is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. That was step number two, wasn't it? Sinking down in acceptance of your helplessness. Admitting this before God. You know what it is? This isn't psychological concepts. This is you dealing with the truth. This is who you really are. This is what you really are. The old man thinks he can do anything. The old man thinks he's the sum total of the universe. He isn't. Don't let him lie to you. Don't let him urge you to be the Christian through his efforts. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul then responds, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Infirm. My lack of firmness, my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, lacking needful things, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. It's the paradox of human thinking. He says, I just bow in weakness before him and say, use me as you will. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. And God is able, has the power to make all grace abound toward you. Wow. All grace? What can you do with all grace? Anything and everything. That ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Even dedicated prayer? Yes. Perhaps you have worked hard in the flesh to build a prayer life. You've given earnest effort, used every whip of shame or love to goad yourself into prayerfulness. Consider the word of God. You are not under law, but under grace. Romans 6, 14 and 15. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. This isn't denying the law so that you can contradict the law. This is God's grace to put you above the law because you want to do out of love what the law had said you must do for fear of punishment. Galatians 5:18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. This is that being led of the Spirit, see. God's grace. In Romans 7, Paul gives us a picture of a believer's life under the law. With bitter experience of his past life, striving to climb the ladder of self-righteousness, he ends the chapter with Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Why do I keep doing what is wrong? We went through, not too long ago, his argument in this, where he says, well, then I realized that if I want to do what's right and then I don't do what I want, there's sort of two me's here. And that's it exactly. The old man, the new man. Who shall deliver? And then he provides the gracious answer in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, here's what's going on. With the mind, my saved mind, I myself serve the law of God. Then what's going on? Well, it's with the flesh, the law of sin. Pastor Porter was telling me about the time that he recognized that those words of temptation, that desire to do wrong, that was the old corrupt flesh, the rotting flesh, saying, get back to the thing that I'm good at. And you have to kind of take a, what is that mind disease where you, two parts, you know? Yeah, schizophrenic. You adopt the schizophrenic thing and you talk to that other self. And you say, of course you'd like that. But you're too stupid to realize what the result of that is. That'll tell him. He won't change because that's who he is. But you can know better. His deliverance is by the Holy Spirit giving us the full experience of what the life of Christ can work in us, what he can do. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and therefore the law of death. The law of God could only deliver us into the bondage, the law of God, the law could only deliver us into the bondage of the law of sin and death. It's the grace of God that can bring us into and keep us in the liberty of the Spirit. This is where we need to be. This is us not trying harder. So, I don't really enjoy the reading of the scripture. Well, where did you get the idea that that was supposed to be always peaches and cream, you know? Sometimes we take medicine that doesn't taste good. Anybody still gargle Listerine? It was the thing, the taste you hate three times a day or something like that. We sometimes do what's good for us because it's medicine. Maybe it doesn't taste good. But I'm not doing it so it because it tastes good. I'm doing it because it's right. So we read the scripture, we go to prayer. And again in prayer, we wrestle with this old man. And we admit before God and ourselves that it's powerless to do, to achieve, to accomplish. And we say, but your grace working through me can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Comments, questions?